to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
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 That was a bit terse. Hello.
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 No, no, I'm just, I'm very excited, look, because I'm just having one of Keely's Arborn teas that she bought me, and there were a few in here, and I wasn't sure what to have, but I'm quite buzzy because I've had a coffee on my drive in. I always have a nice coffee when I drive in, and I've decided to plump for the Clean Tox, which is elderflower and mint. Which
is that what
lovely.
I can smell, or is that what I can?
No,
smell?
No, you can smell that. Which is Keely, run us through what you sprinkled in your hot water.
It's actually an energy fizz stick, which is.
Hold on, let's turn you up.
An energy fizz stick, Paul Andrews.
Yes, yeah, energy fizz stick. But
it smells orangey.
Yes, it is. So it's actually apricot and basil.
Is it?
Yes, it is, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Basil.
Basil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I know. I'll have another chocolate. we could do a
it's
whole.
It's not your rat, Mr. Fortis. Yeah.
It's Siberian hamster. Basil, what is basil good for then? Because I don't know if you saw my breakfast this morning, Paul Andrews.
I did. You had fried eggs with thyme, bacon and mushrooms.
Very good. And there was also smuggled in there.
What I wanted to know.
Giblets, what, I had as well.
You had giblets?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, with your breakfast? With kidneys, you mean?
I think it was, the dog had the neck raw, Darcy had.
Of
and
what?
Then, of the chicken giblets. The neck.
Right.
And then, I don't eat the neck, obviously. And then I had the kidney and the heart.
But of a chicken?
Yeah. But it was camouflaged in.
Tiny.
Yeah, it was camouflaged in my bacon. If you look carefully, you might see it.
What interested me is the shot of your frying pan frying five eggs.
Yeah.
And you had two on the plate. Does that mean Gavin had three eggs?
No, I actually had three in the end. Cause I like, cause he can eat, he sits there, he teases me. First of all, I bought him an Easter egg. I bought him a lovely Gillian, you know, those sea creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
Bought him one of those. And he's very sweet because he knows I'm on a protocol. So he goes off and munches it in secret, you know, but I can hear him. I can hear him. You know, he's got his laptop and he's going crunch, crunch. And then at breakfast, my one weakness, Keely, is marmalade. And some of my friends give me homemade marmalade and it's my one weakness. And of course it's got sugar in, and so I'm not having sugar at the moment. And I have to say I feel great on it, not having sugar. But marmalade to me, it sets the world to rights. So you have your eggs and your bacon, and then
hold on. What do you have the marmalade on?
Well, exactly. I don't now have it.
Because you don't
I?
Eat bread. So
no.
What do you do? Smear it on your fingers and lick it off?
Well, in the old days.
That's what the lolly sticks are for. The lolly sticks are for the marmalade jar.
You could make a marmalade well, I have it with almond
You're Paddington
butter.
Bear, aren't you? That's what you are.
It's the hat. I have it with almond butter normally, like a really good quality almond butter with nothing else in it. But yeah, at the moment, no marmalade. And I'm not even having fruit. The only fruit I'm allowed.
No, eggs. I want to know about the eggs.
Right,
come
three.
On.
I had three.
You had three eggs.
Yeah,
and
fried in beef fat. So I had, I usually do a roast, which I slice up so I can
have
it cold.
That's a bit excessive just for breakfast, isn't it?
No, I have a roast in week. In week or at weekend.
Right.
And then I keep the beef fat, cause it's really good. And then I use it for frying.
Right.
And then with the chicken roast, I will make a soup from the carcass in a slow cooker, 24 hours. That's my bone broth. But what I found out about cold sores, very interesting.
It's never interesting. Cold sores are never interesting.
They're not sexy, are they?
Yeah, no.
But I haven't had one for 2 years because I've been taking with Christine Bickley, who's my nutritionist. She's amazing. And I've actually got a catch up with her tomorrow. I can't wait. Because that's another show, because I had to wee on litmus paper for hormone tests.
I don't need to know this.
Over 48 hours.
I don't need to know this.
And it post it off, so she's going to run me through that. Because I've come off my HRT. I'm not taking any. I was on Bioidentical, but I've come off it 4 months. Anyway, long story short, Keely, somebody was telling me on Twitter that if you've got a cold sore, it's arginine that it feeds on, so you should avoid nuts and chocolate. And I use quite a lot of cacao, organic cacao, which you probably use in your cakes. So I've had to cut that out. And I found myself this morning, I'd sprinkle it on my coffee, 100% cacao, which is really good for mood, uplift and stuff. And there's no sugar in it. And I sprinkled it on in habit and thought, I shouldn't do it. So arginine or arginine, you should avoid. Mm. So at the moment, I'm even avoiding nuts. Normally, I bring a little.
I try to avoid nuts, but every Tuesday.
You work with one, do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
They say it takes one to know one.
Is that right?
Yeah. But if I was having marmalade in the old days, I would have it on, I try not to eat bread, but I would have it on, there's an organic rye that I buy sometimes when I'm feeling wicked, or Dockers, which they're from Folkestone or Ramsgate. Dockers bread is sourdough, and it's just three ingredients, so it's the sourdough mother, salt, water and flour. They're whatever sourdough flour is. It's very pure, and you can buy that at the Good Shed. But yeah, I probably will never eat it again. It's very sad, and you do miss it. So sometimes I just have marmalade on a spoon with some nut butter and eat it like that. Or a lolly stick. Now you've given me an idea.
Marmalade lolly.
Anyway, marmalade lollies.
Anyway, I've had enough of you.
Yeah, well, I was just telling you. You did ask.
I want to hear from Keely.
Yeah, she's got a retreat coming up.
I know, and we want to hear all about it.
She's only got two places left.
We didn't need to bother to invite her then if you were going to do a talk, did we? But we did, because she's far more sensible and more interesting than you. Keely Woolley of Metamorph for Success, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. Thank you for putting up this abject nonsense for an hour and a half. But I'd like to kick off by you telling us a little bit about Keely first, and then we'll talk about your business. So tell us a bit about your background, a bit about your circumstances, and then we'll move on to talking about your business.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure, despite what you say. It's just entertaining watching you two in action. But,
Bicker.
Well, I think that's probably it. Yeah. So, I have to say from a personal note, I am, as I say, new husband. I've been with my husband since I was 15 years old. So,
really?
Yes.
How did you meet?
I used to be in the Air Cadets, and afterwards all of the scooters used to hang outside the fire engine place.
Station.
Yeah. So you've caught it. You've caught our disease.
I'm already here. Yeah, I've settled in already. And the chip shop, and that's where I met my husband.
The chip shop.
Yeah, so we all used to hang out there.
You're probably not as old as us, but we used to get the scratchings for free. Mm-hmm. Just like basically the fried bits at the bottom of the grill for free.
I didn't tend to actually eat the chips because I've never been one for a bit like fried food and everything like
don't
that.
Don't you hate her? She doesn't like fried bits.
So I wasn't a big fan of chocolate either. Oh. It's like I love dark chocolate, but I've never been a fan of other chocolate. Right. So anyway, so that's how I met my husband.
And what's his name?
Dean Woolley, yes.
And does he... share your love of all things healthy?
He doesn't really have a choice because if he didn't get fed by me, he wouldn't be eating. So, to be fair, he absolutely loves it. So since I've gone, because I was talking about with you earlier, keto, it's all the food that he absolutely loves. So all the things that I didn't think I was allowed to have, like cream and olives and avocados and nuts and all of the lovely tasty things that I always liked and couldn't eat, which I thought, and now he has all of those, he absolutely loves every meal I cook him, which is really nice.
So I don't want to sidetrack this too far, but you're doing a keto diet. I tried a keto diet a couple of years ago and I put on a stone.
Because you were eating eight sausages, you told me.
That is true. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Which are full of grains.
But it did say you could eat whatever you wanted, but that was a bit of a fib. Yeah.
I think it's a bit more specific than quite honest. Yeah. And I mean, I like it because I can eat plenty of meat and lots of vegetables, because there is this false belief that you can't eat lots of vegetables. And yes, you can. It's utter rubbish.
Run us through what a typical day you would eat. You don't eat very much. I eat a lot.
Yeah, I tend. Well, you saying that though, I think my dinner last night probably took me about an hour to eat, but it's because I eat one meal a day.
Okay.
If I do get peckish during the day, I might reach for something like nuts or cheese or seeds or something like that.
So you have one meal a day. Mm. When do you have that meal?
Usually around about 6-7, depends on when I finish work.
In the evening?
Yeah.
So you're
right.
Almost intermittent fasting?
Yeah.
Just naturally?
Yeah. But it was a natural progression because, funny enough, I started eating later and later because, you know, you're also told that you're supposed to have breakfast every morning. Yeah. It's most important.
Yeah. Kickstart.
But I gradually found that I ate later and later throughout the day and didn't need to eat because you're burning off your natural fats as opposed to having the highs and lows that you get with carbs. And don't get me wrong, this is not going to be right for everybody because we're not all the same and sure. Things will work differently for different people. But I did it originally because I had real serious gut problems. Mm. And as soon as I started shifting and taking all of the sort of bread and wheat and pasta and rice and all those kind of things, I started to feel so much better. And for the first time ever, I started losing lots of weight. I lost about 3.5 stone and I was like smaller now than I was when I was probably about 15, 16. Right. I've struggled my whole life with managing weight.
Right. Okay.
And my stomach issues. And now for the last 5 years, 6 years, no problems at all. And I feel amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the big difference because I've always eaten healthily, but I've always drunk. I love, Carver.
She's always drunk.
I love wine. I, you know, I do a food show. So, you know, I meet a lot of chefs. You know, Michelle Roux Jr. is my favourite. And, you know, but I've always tried really hard to cook from scratch and that. But I also struggle with eating chef food because when I go to a restaurant, I don't want to say, I can't eat this and I can't eat that because I'm a bon viveur naturally. But going on this with Christine took me under a wing because I was spending a fortune trying to get better from the AstraZeneca serious injuries, neurological and stuff. And I was spending a fortune just DIYing. Mm. And so I found Christine on Twitter and she has led me. She's changed my life. Amazing. And I'm very grateful. And we did a poo test. And I don't know whether you did a poo test for your gut issues. So I sent my poo off, and she went through it and there were things that shouldn't be in my gut, red flagged. Mm-hmm. So she said, you need to do. And what I'm on actually is an antifungal. Mm. So I'm not even allowed to eat olives at all and no fruit at all except berries and Granny Smith, which I hate Granny Smith, but I've made myself like them. But like you say, I'm having lots of blue cheese, lots of good dairy, not rubbish. And I found a raw dairy, which you might be interested in.
Okay, right. Let's let Keely get a word in. Yeah. So we got as far as meeting your husband when you were 15, outside the chippy on your way home from the air cadets.
Watching out for a fireman.
Yeah. Although I have to say there's a bit of a story for that because I think he went out with every single one of my friends. So whenever I introduce my friends to somebody else, I turn around and said, oh, so this was his first girlfriend. That was his other girlfriend. That was his other girlfriend. It's where did you
grow up?
I was the only one that didn't escape.
Was it a village where you grew up?
Yes, I've lived in Minster since I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay,
actually.
So you all knew each other and all went to the same schools and...
Yeah, so. Pretty much, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, so fast forward a little bit and let's talk about your work background because I know you've got a very interesting work background. Mm-hmm. And I want to get that kind of out there before we get into the meat of what you're doing now.
Yeah. So, I mean, for over 23 years, actually 25 years, I worked with the same organisation. It was a global corporate company, manufacturing Dear Smith paper and packaging company. And I had a good career there, as I say. And in 2020, I was strategically made redundant. Right. I was part of the process. I was a program delivery director whilst I was there. So I had quite a successful career, which is quite amazing, really, considering I was told by one of my teachers that I would only be a housewife.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a housewife. It's an amazing thing to be able to do, but it was more or less indicated that I wouldn't really do much more than that.
You couldn't get a job, so you might as well.
Yeah, make the most of that side of it. But I was with them for a long, long time. But sadly, you know, I had to put my whole team at... at risk for redundancy. And then obviously I went through the same process myself. And I'm not going to lie, when I did actually lose my job, I crashed and burned. It was a massive, massive shock to my system.
After being somewhere so long, you become a bit institutionalized and you know, your life gears around, you know, that 25 years of experience.
Well, it's your whole identity, I think. I think, and this is why I teach what I teach, is because unfortunately, by and large, our jobs become
structure.
It's also our identity. We live by our job rather than our lives.
It's a big thing in the West, isn't it?
When you
first meet someone, you almost, your very first question is, what do you do for a living? And so you're right, it becomes our identity, which is what screws up a lot of people that don't really know what they do and they don't know what to say.
Years
and years ago, I used to have a mate who was a lunatic. He was a complete lunatic. And people used to go to him, Dave, what do you do? He'd go, I'm a fox prodder. I go, oh, what? Yeah, I prod foxes. I go, really? And he go, yeah. And I go, why do you prod foxes? And he go, I get paid per prod, you know. It was just complete nonsense. But people would go, wow, that's really different. He was actually a builder, is what he was. I do believe, and I might be wrong here, but do you study an MBA as well?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at what point in your career did you do that, and what inspired you to do that?
So it was probably about 2003 that I started it. The company was very, very good at training. If you made an effort, and you know, I think you and I was talking about this, just because you haven't got loads of qualifications, it's really about the effort and contribution that you want to put into a place that makes people go, oh, actually, I see potential there.
Yeah.
And one of the good things with our company is that they did used to encourage doing lots of training, and they had a management training scheme that they started, because a lot of supervisors, they start off as technicians and then promoted into roles, and they've never had any managerial experience or background or anything like that, and then suddenly they're supposed to run a department. So they did start doing this training program with a lot of the supervisors, and then they then had the next level up that they started doing managerial for those that were already managers, and it just went on from there. And I started off doing that, and then I just, you know, I ended up doing postgraduate diploma, then a degree, then I then went on to do my master's.
I hope you wrote to your teacher that said you would mount
I do
by
believe,
the way.
I do believe that there was a bit of a finger raised because, you know, I think that's one of the problems in schools. It's that you are told that you've got these skills and capabilities, and they define your future. And if you're told you're not good enough, then you start believing it. And
you give up.
Absolutely. And also, people develop at different rates.
Absolutely.
And also, school is one of the dullest, boring, most awful things that you can do if it's not that, if you're not that way inclined. So you can switch off really easily from an academic thing, because it just, you know, one, you're bored, or two, it doesn't resonate with you, or three, you are, like me, genuinely useless at it. You know, but you're right. We write people off far too soon. And I can tell loads of stories about people that have been written off and told they were useless at things, that have gone on to be incredibly successful human beings in lots of different ways, not just in making money or having clever jobs, but just been very successful people in their own right. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. But you did all these diplomas and your MBA and all the rest of it while you were there. Did you enjoy that process?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I really enjoyed it. And interestingly, for the first time I actually started learning how to do exams was, you know, when I was like 2005, 2006.
So not at school.
No, it was actually one of my good friends. It was like study buddies. And he was the one that actually taught me how to study for exams in a much easier way, because I was terrified in exams to the point where I couldn't even write my name when I took an exam, because I was shaking so much. The fear. And yet the day before, I'd be going through and answering all of the questions one after another. But through the work that he helped me do with the training, it just changed my world. Mind maps, you know, using Mind Maps was the best thing that was ever shown
using
to
what
me.
Did you use?
Mind Maps.
Mind Maps.
Yeah, so.
And this was your study buddy that got you?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Mike.
Mind Maps, if I remember rightly, Mind Maps was a concept. I don't know if he invented it, but it was certainly pioneered by a guy called Tony Buzan, who wrote a book about mind mapping. And it's a way of putting your thoughts down on a piece of paper in a non-linear way.
Yeah.
Cool. So you were made redundant from this long-term company that you were with and had built a really successful career with them. That always comes as a shock when that happens, doesn't it? So did you immediately think about starting your own business, or did you kind of wallow in a bit of, sadness for a little while? How did that work? Because you said you kind of burnt out a little bit.
Yes. I mean, funny enough, the actual company, I was their Brexit specialist.
Right.
And before they made me redundant, they had the realisation that I was the Brexit specialist and I knew everything about it.
Right.
So they suddenly thought, oh, why are we getting rid of this person? Because she's the only one that actually knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And
been there.
Yeah. So, lo and behold, I was invited back to be their consultant.
Right.
So I set up my own consultancy business, KW Consultancy Services.
Right.
But at the same time, because of everything that had gone on, I literally crashed and burned when I got the phone call confirming that I'd been made redundant.
Right.
I've shut down probably for about 2 or 3 months. And when I say that, for the first month, I wasn't able to talk to my family and my friends.
So was this like a grief thing, or what was the catalyst?
Well, I think that's the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, because everything that I went through after that, which is now what I'm helping and teaching others, is really, it was a culmination of a lifetime of things that have been going on, but I didn't realise I was doing it, and also fell into a lot of the traps that you fall into in an executive environment and a male environment. And
say those traps are?
So one of them, obviously, when you're in a male environment, I had a leadership team, which was 12 men and myself. And, you're always trying to prove yourself. You feel like you've got to act like a man to be able to be heard and listened to. You're juggling plates. Naturally, I was always a people pleaser. So I was always caring and serving for everybody else. I volunteered for everything. Well, unfortunately, it meant my team got all the work as well as me. So, which is another lesson that I've learned from it. But it's just many things and a lot of the self-doubt that kicks in because you see other people rising through the business. And it's a shock to your system. It can have multiple effects on it. And you're running 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, I was being the wife, raising my children, doing all the studying, traveling all around Europe, and then also looking after my team. And everybody used to come knocking on my door because I was the one
that
was the
listener.
Yes, I was the fixer, the solver. And, you just thought that's where all the traps are. And it's like taking that step back and really saying, should I actually be doing this? But, before we was talking about what I was doing, I went and did the consultancy work. And I was doing it with that company that I worked for another couple of years and also helping other businesses. But I realized I still was doing the same job. But just outside of the business, I was still in that sort of toxic environment, getting sucked into the bureaucracy, slow pace of change, getting frustrated. So although I'd gone through this healing process, because unfortunately, during the COVID period, the only thing that was really good about it was the weather was amazing.
Yeah,
so anybody that had a garden spent a lot of time walking and out in their garden, which obviously is really, really healthy for you to be able to do those kind of things. And it was then I started to sort of realize a lot of the things that I was doing. I went through the healing process for myself.
Right.
So, that was when I started to discover what it was that I really wanted to do.
Okay.
Somebody was talking about the purpose.
Yeah.
So finding your why, which is why fundamental to my business, is that the thing is that we start a career not knowing what we wanted, unless someone really has a passion for, say,
football. It's very rare. Yeah.
And you know, you fall into a career, and although you might enjoy it, you don't necessarily love it. And it's not until you actually take that step back, you go, maybe I should be finding what I truly love. And now I found it.
No, that's brilliant. And that's really good, isn't it? So, let's move on now and talk about what you've found and what it is you're doing. And we know you've got some things happening fairly soon. We've only a couple of places left, but we will tell people about that in a minute. So you had this kind of blinding flash of, you know, why don't I do what I like doing instead of what I don't like doing? Do you recall the moment that happened? Was it a single moment, or was it a process that unfolded over a period of time that you suddenly think, do you know what, I ought to do this as a business?
I think it was more of a process over time. Whilst I was still doing the consultancy work, I was trying to revisit all the things that I really enjoyed when I worked with the company for the 23 years. And the thing that I loved nothing more, I absolutely loved, was seeing other people thrive, being able to help them to do what it is that I love. When I got idea generation, obviously as a program delivery director, you're always helping people with idea generation trying to turn it into something that's fantastic. And when you actually see that shine in someone's eyes, that eureka moment, you literally see it happen. So when that, you know, when I was referring back to all of those experiences, that was the bit that I thought, do you know what? I should be doing the training and coaching, the mentoring, because I do love seeing people thrive. I get a genuinely glowing, warm heart feeling. It makes me smile every single day. And then obviously through my healing process, the things like, you know, the stress management, which is one of the key areas that I deal with. And also the realization that, you know, there was lots of self-doubt, there's lots of limiting beliefs, all of those kind of things. So I also worked through all of those. So I did lots of, you know, reading books about imposter syndrome, people pleasing, Finding Your Why by Simon Sinek, all of these authors and everything like that. And over time, I started sort of building up my own framework based on all of the experiences that I had, what healed me, what worked for me. And then that's where it went on to me actually creating my own personal business. The funny thing is that I actually started off wanting to go into companies to teach, like, the CEOs, the leaders, to be able to help them to thrive within their businesses based on some of the experiences that I had, the things that didn't go so well, and the ways we could actually run businesses in a much better way. And sadly, I mean, I'd already mentioned to you a couple of years ago, my amazing brother John passed away. But whilst he was going through the process, when he first found out that he had cancer, I had a bit of a wake up call myself that, well, why am I targeting CEOs, the ones that I I don't actually want to be around or surrounded by because of some of the behaviours? Why not actually target those that I'm actually familiar with? And at the time, it was, you know, targeting female leaders, executives, all those areas, because that's who I was. That's what I did. And that's where it sort of started from. But then, obviously, whilst I started doing a lot of the social media and working with a lot of clients and helping them out, I got lots of men that actually came towards me and said, I am so familiar with what you've said. I recognize the imposter syndrome. I recognize the burnout. I recognize, you know, the limiting beliefs, all the things that hold it back. So I then switched it over to men as well. So,
right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So, kind of take us forward a bit now. You've established where you're going and why you're doing it, and you've found your purpose, and you've now also worked out your demographic of who you're talking to. Talk us through some of the ways you do what you do, and then we'll talk a bit about the retreat that you got coming up.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, you've already highlighted the book that I wrote last year, From Burnout to Bliss, and that one is based on my first pillar of my business, right, which is about resetting. Because ultimately, many of us don't recognise that we are feeling stressed or anxious, or we know we are, but we're not listening to the signs.
Yep.
So it's all about recognising what's driving you to feel that way.
Yeah.
And we have different levels of stress, and some stress is really important.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, if we're on a motorway and there's an accident, we need to have that immediate response and be able to cope with it. But the problem is that quite often we are in that state of stress all of the time. People on their phones from the moment they get out of bed.
Yes. She stresses me. Don't
yeah. But the problem is if that's the first thing that you do in the morning, you're already putting yourself in a state of anxiety.
Yeah.
And you're building up your stress levels. And as soon as your cortisol levels start going up, then it then starts getting progressively worse, and it has an impact on you in so many ways. Or it might be someone actually being interviewed on a radio. It might be then in your a big massive area with lots of people. You know, you don't, it's trying to understand what would be driving it for you as an individual.
Right.
Plus, the other thing is that we don't recognise things like the aching neck, you know, the rashes, the arm ache, you know, the headaches, the brain fog, the memory loss.
The overeating, sugar, when you're tired, like what do you
cold,
do?
Cold sores.
Yes, yeah, but it is, they are all stresses.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we see
well, that's
all
thanks
of those.
To the NHS, 3 days with my mother at A&E.
Which is not going to help,
No, of course not.
And but the problem is all of these things we see in isolation, we don't see them as a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And then it's then too late. And especially if you are a strong character, you're quite stalwart, you keep soldiering on regardless. You know, sometimes you will have a collapse, but then you then get back up again.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you keep on doing it. And then all of a sudden your body says, you know what? You're not listening to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it for you. And unfortunately, that's when it then, you crash altogether. And it can take months, sometimes years to get out of. Or it can shut down your body altogether.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. And then the other one is all about re-injecting vitality and energy into your body, because it's great you know what's causing your stress, but if you're absolutely shattered, there's nothing you can do about it. And you can't drink from an empty cup, can you? So,
no, absolutely.
So that's really about giving you the tools and strategies to be able to manage things in a much better way with what we eat, what we drink, you know, doing gratitude, journaling and things like that.
I struggle with journaling. My sister-in-law bought me a journal book, you know, to have by my bed, and I struggle with journaling, but I get everything else. And I think everybody has to take a bit of what, you know, you can't say to somebody journal, it will make you feel better if you know, but I think there are other ways of instead of journaling, I might go and walk barefoot in the garden, for example, on grass and stuff like that. So I'm doing other things.
Well, it depends on what kind of person you are, because journaling, people associate that with writing something down, you know, or keeping a diary or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You can talk. Yeah. I mean, you talk all the time. There's nothing stopping you talking into your phone and recording it as a stream of consciousness.
And that's journaling.
Well, of course it is. You're just keeping a record of your thoughts and activities and what you're doing. Well, I'm telling you. I mean,
that's a good idea. I never thought of that.
And I think that's the important thing that you've said here, is that it's not one size fits all. Everybody is different. Mm. We've got different ways of approaching things, and you say the concept of journaling is also about you being able to process things as well. So it's not just that you refer back to it. I mean, the problem is that most communities now is that they're so flaming busy. They don't spend time with their friends or family. They're not having chewing the fat over a coffee. And by verbalizing some of the problems that you've got, the things that you're dealing with, or maybe it's really positive things, you know, sharing successes, which we don't actually celebrate either.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm.
But by processing it, it then means that you're able to deal with it. But when you're holding it within yourself, that means that you're holding that inside and you're locking it in. You're locking in the problem and you're not doing anything about it. You just mentioned about going out, walking barefooted.
Mm.
It's a fantastic thing to do. Grounding is one of the best things you can possibly do, because it's re-injecting energy into your body. You know, you're re-energizing. But also, if you've got a problem that you're struggling to actually resolve by movement, you're moving yourself away from that problem. When you go out into the garden, you're also getting energized at the same time. You start clearing your head, you start refocusing. Because when you're sat still, you're stuck with the problem. When you start moving, then you're moving them away from the problem and you can start dealing with it. So every, you know, there's so many different processes that you've got. And say what you're eating, what you're drinking, you know, consuming.
What you eat is so important because you're feeding not just your body, but your brain. And that's the big difference with, you know, brain fog. Sugar is like in everything.
It's a poison.
Yeah.
It is a poison. Yeah.
But even, you know, I've been tweeting M&S, for example, like their cooked meats are full of sugar. So you buy some sliced beef, it's got sugar in it.
This is a problem with anything you buy, isn't it? It's got salt and sugar rammed in it and, you know, I'm on special diets at the moment and you basically can't eat anything, you know, unless you cook it yourself from scratch, which is fine. But unless you do that, you can't be sure what else you're consuming because even, you know, like diet drinks still contain sugar and salt.
And aspartame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another poison, which drives me nuts because I got all of that on the shelves as well.
Yeah.
Just look
when I leave home at the queue for McDonald's, there is no hope.
No.
In the morning when you can boil an egg in 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes, however you want. And the queue is, they're sitting in the car for maybe 20 minutes with their engine running. They're not even going to get out of the car. And then they drive to the seafront where I live and they eat in their car and then they throw it out and they drive off. And there's just no hope.
And then, you know, Starbucks and Costa, they're having coffee every single day.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I mean, you talking about the product Arbonne that I was sharing with you earlier.
Yeah. So are you part of Arbonne?
One of their consultants.
Right.
But the funny thing is, when you talk to people, they say, oh, it's a lot to pay. And you're like, how much do you spend on coffee and a cake every single day? You're spending £7.50 or £8 every single day for effectively junk food that you're putting inside you, but you're not willing to invest in yourself that's going to help you.
There's a huge difference in a cake that my mum makes. She'll make a beautiful gluten-free cake for us. And a cake that you buy that's gluten-free, for example. So you think that you're perhaps trying to be healthy by buying a gluten-free. And the shop bought gluten-free is absolute rubbish. You can't, you can't even digest it. Your body can't deal with it.
No.
So you got into Arbonne as well.
Yeah.
And why do you love their products?
For many reasons, it aligns to my pillar where it's all about reinjecting vitality because it is what you put on your skin inside and out. They've been going for about 44 years.
Canadian, is it, or American, or English? I don't know.
No, they are actually set up in America. They're not in France, actually, not yet. So they're not in the EU yet, apart from Poland. Their main company is in America, but they distribute in UK, New Zealand, Poland, Canada and America. So, and as I say, Poland.
So it's cosmetics, creams and potions for your skin. Yeah. So and teas. And things.
They originally started out, funny enough, the guy was a scientist, Peter, and he couldn't understand why we was putting rubbish on our bodies because most of the cosmetic products, skincare products,
it's all
everything
absorbed
like that,
through your skin.
And it's all poison. It's got petroleum in it and all those dreadful toxins that you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And what I love about every single product they have is it's botanical, it's vegan, halal, it's kosher, they're a B corporation. They are the leading supplier of all skincare products globally. And they are also in the top 10 for the actual gut health products, you know, anything that you eat or drink with them as well. So
this tea is delicious, by the way.
It is very nice.
The Clean Tox.
Yes, it is.
I'm toxing as I drink it.
Yeah. But the reason why I started it originally is that actually my husband is medically retired. He has been since 2017 and he's got chronic back problems. He's got fibromyalgia as well. And along with that, obviously when you're taking lots of medication, it causes things like brain fog. It upsets your guts and also your mind. Your sleep gets impacted. And one of my good friends from, I met her from Santa Dea, was the women's leadership program we was mentoring, and we across the table we fell in love with each other. I think by gin and tonic, I think it was. But anyway, so I was talking about my husband, and she eventually said, well, I've got something that might actually help you. And we started off with one that's called Green Guts Glow, which helps with your gut, your skin, your hair, your nails, and all those kind of things. And immediately we saw results. And then we then got introduced to Inner Calm and herbal infusion. And now my husband's sleep is shocking, or was shocking, and he was about 55% on average with his sleep, and he went immediately into sort of 85% to 90% improvement with his sleep, and along with that his quality of so mental recovery and health recovery was 85 to 90%, and he went from being like sometimes almost catatonic
because of all the pharma he was taking for pain and
not sleeping, because he sometimes his sleep was sort of 2-3 hours
he was in pain.
He's in constant pain anyway. There's, you know, he's 24/7. He's actually got a patch that's like a morphine patch and various other medication, but his sleep was so bad. But like overnight, his sleep improved tenfold.
Wow.
And then I woke up, and I never knew whether he was going to be laying on a chair all day long, not functioning or not having a conversation, to him actually waking up from what I call like a dream sleep, like that zombie state, to actually start to have a conversation, to actually start seeing a future together.
Breathe.
Mm-hmm. And when you've had someone that's been almost asleep since 2017, it's heartbreaking. And when you see someone suddenly wake up and you see a future together,
It's very
you've got your man back.
Yeah.
And he's got his life back.
And I mean, his pain is never going to go away. I mean, he had 3 failed back surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, some days he feels like he wants to cut his legs off because he's in so much pain. But when your sleep is disrupted, and this is the least spoken about topic ever, and yet sleep, if you don't have it's a good sleep in, it's even more damaged than not having, you can survive longer days-wise without food and drink than you can with your sleep.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like someone drinking excessive alcohol. If you've got someone driving a car that's not been sleeping properly, it is the equivalent of someone being under the influence of alcohol. So for me, that's why I ended up signing up.
Keely, we need to talk about your book and also the
retreat
that you're
And we're going to do it quickly because there's only 5 or 6 minutes left.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us first of all about the retreat, because that's important, and what you'll be offering there and the dates.
Okay. So it's this Friday, the 12th to the 14th.
Got 2 places there?
I have 2 places. It is for women only this time round.
Yeah.
This time round. But it's a combination, all inclusive. There is a beautiful retreat in the heart of Bedford, Oakmead Retreat. Oakmead Retreat, and we'll be practicing stress management strategies throughout the weekend. There's a beautiful swimming pool, and we'll also be doing restorative yoga for an hour and a half on Saturday and Sunday morning. And the end of the day, after doing the sessions, we'll be also doing restorative breath work and meditation on the Friday and Saturday evening. So it means that we can help bring you back to balance and alignment, because I'm not going to lie, there will be stuff that will show up when you're going through some of the processes, but in a positive way, but you just need to recenter.
So is it Saturday and Sunday?
So it's Friday night, Saturday and Sunday.
And accommodation and everything.
Yeah,
so how much would that cost?
So usually it would be £1,400.
Yeah.
And that's also including food as well, which would all be...
That's a bargain.
Yes, and it'd be good, healthy products that would be cooking there as well. And the actual investment at the moment for the last two will be for £500 each.
Wow. Okay. So you're offering bunker listeners a special deal.
Yes. So there is in the chat, there is
a link.
There's a link to it, and it's Thrive and Shine. So
wow,
it's on
amazing.
The checkout.
Fantastic.
And Burnout to Bliss, your book.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we buy it?
So you can buy that on Amazon from Burnout to Bliss, and it's actually dedicated to my brother
John.
So his last words to me was, "Continue to make me proud, little sis. You're going to rock this world." So Which is why I wrote it last year, especially for him.
Cool.
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant. Keely, thank you for that. Give us a shout out for your website so people can find out about the whole range of work you do and find out more about you. And then if you want to hear more from Keely, and I'm sure you do, she's also going to be doing a talk at the Ironworks on the 24th of April at 5 p.m. So come along to that. But give us a shout for your website.
Yeah. Okay. So it's www.metamorewithnoe4success.com.
Fantastic. There's a link to that on the Campuses Radio website as well, and that link will stay there forever. So you can, if you didn't write that down, you can find the link on the radio website and click that through. Keely, thank you so much for that. Really enlightening, really fabulous talk. I've had a tweet from Michael Parks,
Surveyors.
Yeah. And they say, what a delightful interview and the most delightful laugh. thank you, Keely. That was brilliant. So that's
thank
great.
You very much.
Yeah.
And we've got Wayne Cunnington talking about detoxing, and Christine Bickley, who's my nutritionist, has just come into the chat, and she says the best place to start with detox is phase three, elimination. Mm-hmm. So many people are not opening their bowels 2 to 3 times a day with well-formed stools. If you try to push out more toxins when the exit is blocked, you can simply reabsorb the toxins. Mm-hmm. Spent estrogen being one such toxin. So thank you for that. And you can find Christine on the Twitter. She's at Bickley200.
Steph Young says, Keely, I love people like that.
Yeah. Oh,
isn't that
nice?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Steph.
We could bottle your laugh as well, Keely.
Cool. We haven't got very long left. We've got a few things that I need to talk about. Whoops, excuse me.
And what we'll say is that all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
They are indeed. We've got the Marsh Network, the Ship in Dymchurch. There's a face-to-face meeting on the 25th of April. It's a breakfast meeting, so it's 7:45 a.m. until 9:15. To book your place on that, it's marshnetwork.co.uk. Have you got anything you need to read?
Martin Reeves, first of all, says, amazing Bee Bunker interview with Keely. All my specialists have told me I've got my pain for life and will be on fentanyl for life too. I've tried some herbal remedies and Chinese medicine, which was like drinking out of a muddy puddle when you looked in the cup. Yeah, I feel your pain on the Chinese medicine. But there is hope, Martin, so don't give up.
Yeah. I've come across one many years ago. I was doing
drinking mud out of a cup.
No, I was doing a lecture at Columbia University in Sri Lanka, and the hotel had a swimming pool. And I, for a year or so, I'd had a frozen shoulder and neck, and it was really. And this bloke wandered over to me and he said, "You're in pain, aren't you?" And I went, "Yeah." He said, "I can fix that." And I went, "Yeah, okay." And he said, "Yeah, look, I'll show you what I'm going to use." And he bought this bottle of muddy water. I went, "You just got that out of the river, didn't you?" No. He said, "You need some of this and it will fix it." I said, "I'm not drinking that." And he went, "You don't drink it."
So you bathe in it?
Yeah, no. It was massaged into my shoulder. Never had a problem since.
Wow.
Weird. No idea what was in it. I've been to physiotherapists, so I've been to all kinds of things. And he put this muddy Ganges water on it or whatever it was and never had a problem again.
Wow.
Amazing.
Perhaps there's hope for the sewage in Whitstable.
Yeah. Tunbridge Wells Networking. We hope you can join us for our April networking meeting in Tunbridge Wells. The meeting is hosted at the newly refurbished Tunbridge Wells Town Hall. There's offices, co-working, meeting and event space there. And the meeting is sponsored by Denise Mason from County Hire and Company. County Hire and Go, sorry. Members can attend free. It's April the 18th, 10:30 till 12. And if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find all the details and book your place.
And a new cafe and welcome centre is set to become the first building to open at a closed-off 18th century fort. Planning application has been submitted as part of a gradual process to open up the Citadel at Dover's Western Heights as a business and tourism site. You've got hotels, restaurants, art galleries and music studios all planned as part of the ambitious project, which is going to be called the Little City. It's estimated to cost $100 million. So I wonder where they're getting that money from, Paul Andrews.
Don't know.
Some grant?
I have no idea. I think that will be the organisations investing in it, you know, so that whoever's building the hotel and all the rest of it. Mm. So the total spend's 100 million quid, but it's from lots of different organisations. Yeah. Very quickly, Medway Council have a Medway Skills. It's our first ever Medway Business and Skills Showcase event taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 10th of April at Mid Kent College in Gillingham. The event will celebrate the best of business in Medway with a packaged agenda full of resources and information useful for any local business professional, whether you're just starting out or looking to develop your business skill set. If you want to book a place, email businessandskill@medway.gov.uk. So businessandskill@medway.gov.uk.
You can enter your garden for Maidstone Borough in bloom 2024. I'm going to give you a link because we're short of time. So you can go to maidstone.gov.uk/home, other services, parks and play areas. There'll be a link on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But all entry forms must be received by the 30th of June. And they're looking at the best front garden, the best back garden, best planted trough, pot or hanging basket, best allotment plot, best pollinator, best commercial garden, best school garden and the best community garden. So as I said, 30th of June is your deadline for that. Please go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk to find the link.
Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted, "That's quite a story, Keely. Isn't it interesting how we get pulled into our lives by events?" Absolutely. Yeah. There's a networking event open to members, chamber members, Seven Oaks chamber members, non-members, local businesses and individuals who would like to join us and network face to face whilst walking in beautiful surroundings. The network is likely to include an incline to reach the beautiful Bluebell Woods and takes around an hour, and they will meet back at Mount Vineyard for a slice of pizza courtesy of Thackeray Williams. It's taking place on the 26th of April at 10:30, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out more. And guess what? We've reached the end of another Business
Well,
Bunker
Show. Well, that went quickly,
didn't
it?
Thank you so much for listening. A huge thank you to our wonderful guest, Keely Woolley of Metamorph for Success, to my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews. Thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed and contacted us to take part in the show. Do remember, in future, we're on bizradio.co.uk or syncportradio.co.uk if you're listening online. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.